Hi, my name is Aryeh Kaplan, and today we're going to learn in Shkalim, Chapter 7, Mishnah 7, and Chapter 8, Mishnah 1. So, in the last Mishnah we mentioned there were seven establishments by the Beis Din, and we talked about, in the last Mishnah, we've gone through the first four. So now we're going to start with the fifth. Al HaMelech, Al HaEitzim, Shiyu, HaKohanim, Ne'osim Bahem. So, normally, somebody cannot take things from the Beis Hamikdash, use them for their own purposes. But the rabbis made a special decree, the Beis Hamikdash made a special decree that the salt that belongs to the Beis Hamikdash and the wood, the Kohanim may make use of them. So it doesn't mean that they can take them home for a private barbecue, rather for the meat that they have to eat from the sacrifices, they can use the Beis Hamikdash's salt or the Beis Hamikdash's wood to prepare the meat that they eat from the sacrifices. V'yal ha'para shalohu ma'olin be'fra. So, the next one was that when it came to the red heifer, they instituted that the ashes are exempt from the laws of Mi'ila. So the Gemara actually, in the Rishami, explains that originally the ashes of the Paraduma, which are sprinkled on somebody who's pure, are not technically, if just somebody comes up to those ashes and takes them for their own purposes, one does not get Mi'ila. One does not get the punishment as if he would use, like, something, for example, you take an Ola and eat it for dinner, something like that, which would be Mi'ila. So in this case, if you take the ashes of the Para, it's not considered Mi'ila Midarais from the Bible. However, people were misappropriating these ashes. They thought, like, it was helpful for wounds and things like that, because they thought it made somebody impure or pure, as it would also be good for other purposes, and the rabbis got annoyed with this, and therefore they made a rabbinic decree that it was Mi'ila. And then they saw that their rabbinic decree worked, so they actually stopped their rabbinic decree and said, oh, nope, their rabbinic decree is no longer there, and from now on, if somebody uses the ashes for something inappropriate, it's not considered Mi'ila. And now, the last one, Alala Kinin, Apsulo Shiobos, Mishel Tzibor. So Kinin are these bird pairs. We've spoken about quite a bit throughout our tractate. So, what happens if one of the birds become disqualified, or some of the money gets lost for one of the bird pairs? So that the rabbis established that if the woman or whoever had to bring the bird pair puts the proper money into the temple treasury, or brought the proper birds, and something happened when it was on the temple's property, so then the tzibor would chip in. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hamasapik et Akinin, Mesapik et Apsulos. Nope. Rabbi Yossi has a little bit of disagreement. He says, no, the people who were the bird suppliers, they were the ones who had to make up the loss. So, for example, if one of the birds became tame, so it wasn't on the tzibor, it wasn't on the woman, it was on the person who was selling the birds. That concludes the seventh chapter of Mishnah number 7. Now we begin the eighth chapter of Mishnah number 1. So, just as a background to the first Mishnah, eighth parak, before we begin, there's a general rule that any spit that comes from a zav or a zava or a nida has the status of avhatuma, such that it contaminates people or utensils that it touches. And the rabbis made a general decree that any spit that we don't know where it comes from, we have to assume that it's tame. Now, we're going to see the exception right at the beginning of the Mishnah, but in general, outside of the exception, outside of Yerushalayim, in other places, it's not that the rabbis believed or thought that for sure the majority of spit came from impure people, that it was rather that it was a significant minority. However, our Mishnah begins, Kol Harukin Hanim Sain V'Yerushalayim Tehorin. However, any spittle or spit that you find in Yerushalayim, one can presume that that is pure. Chutz mishal shuk ha'elyon, divrei Rebbe Meir. Except for that which is found in the upper market, these are the words of Rebbe Meir. So, what's so special about the upper market? There, the upper market was filled more with Gentiles, and we have a general principle that the rabbis accorded Gentiles with the Toma, the status of the Toma. So we knew in that particular market there were a lot of non-Jews, and therefore we should be presumed that the spittle that found that market would be impure. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, "Pishar yom yemos hashana sheba emsa temayin v'shebet stadin tehorin." So Rabbi Yossi says that during the other times of the year, aka not during the during the festivals, any spittle that's found in the middle of the street is assumed to be tama, even Yerushalayim, and whatever is on the sides is considered pure. However, he says with Bishas HaRegel, during the festivals, when people really make sure to be pure, Sheba Emsa Tehorin, the majority of that point, the majority of people wrote in the middle, and they were pure. Therefore, spittle found in the middle of the street was considered pure. And the sides where those who were Tamei walk on the side, therefore one says fill on the side of the road, even during Shasaragal, even during Yerushalayim, one had to assume that that was a mitzvah b'nei, shehen mu'atin, mistalkin l'sadin, because the general rule is, whoever was the minority would go to the side. That concludes the first Mishnah of the 8th chapter. I hope everyone has a great day.